thank you very much. Thanks for the invitation. It's great being here. It's my first time at Parameter. Today I'm going to talk about a work that will come out eventually, hopefully, with Scott Collier, Beatrix Mühlmann, and Victor Rodriguez. Both Scott and Beatrix are also in the audience, so feel free also to ask them questions. I saw that Victor's on Zoom, so maybe the Zoom audience can shoot questions to him. So today I'll talk about a theory of 2D gravity, or you can also equivalently view it as a world sheet theory of a particular string. And for reasons that will become clear in the talk, we'll call it the Virzoro minimal string. So let's start with 2D gravity. And essentially, there are two models that people like to study. Of course, there are many others, but these have been especially popular. So the first of which goes back has a long history. It's the minimal string on the world sheet. So there's a Liouville theory coupled to a 2, P Virzoro minimal model. And you can view it as a theory of 2D gravity on the world sheet. So not like usual in string theory, we're not thinking of the space-time theory, but really of the world sheet theory. And another model that is popular in recent years is JT gravity. And very roughly speaking, taking the limit where P tends to infinity reduces the minimal string back to JT gravity, even though this limit is quite subtle and has not been understood completely. The amazing property about these 2D theories of gravity is that they admit dual descriptions in terms of matrix models. So both of those, the minimal string as well as JT gravity, have a dual matrix integral description. It's a doubly scaled matrix integral, and it can be specified, at least perturbatively, by specifying its leading density of states. So for the minimal model, minimal string, we have this kind of density of states, and taking the limit p to infinity and rescaling the energy appropriately recovers the famous sin square root of e density of states of the dual of JT gravity. Today, we'll extend this sort of table by one further entry. So down here, we'll have what we'll call the Virzoro minimal string. It is a different deformation of JT gravity. It will depend on a continuous parameter, not like the minimal string on discrete parameter P. And we can take this continuous parameter that we'll call B to zero and reduce the theory back to JT gravity. And on the dual side, similarly, there will be a matrix integral that is again specified by its leading density of states. And the density of states will take this product form of two cinches. And again, taking a limit b to zero, one of these cinches linearizes and cancels the square root e, and we reduce back to this cinch of square root e. All right, so what is this Virzoro minimal string? So there are many different ways of understanding it, because there is a duality. We can have different points of views on what this theory is. And in this talk, my job will be to essentially explain to you all of these different viewpoints. So we'll start by talking about dilaton gravity. Just like JT gravity, this theory is still, you can view it as a particular theory of dilaton gravity with a cinch potential for the dilaton. That's why we'll call it the cinch dilaton gravity. We can make this, what we mean by this theory, much more precise by giving it a sort of rigorous world sheet description. So we'll view it again as a string theory. And the world sheet description will be in terms of space-like Liouville theory coupled to time-like Liouville theory. So contrary to the minimal string, where as a meta theory we take a Virzoro minimal model, we'll take time-like Liouville theory here. And don't worry, I'll review what this theory is. And the sort of interesting thing about this world sheet theory is that you can relate it actually to a 3D theory of gravity. So it turns out that the partition functions of this theory are just the same as the partition functions of sort of a chiral half of 3D gravity on the Riemann surface on which we're considering the 2D theory of gravity times a circle. And then this 3D theory of gravity allows us to link the description to a description in terms of intersection theory on the moduli space of surfaces, which in turn allows us to relate to this dual matrix integral that I showed in the beginning using techniques of topological recursion. So each of these links here are pretty rigorous. So in some sense, you can directly prove this correspondence, which is much stronger than what you can do for the 2, P minimal string, where there are pretty old conjectures that by now on a certain level have been proved. But here it's in some sense much easier to prove this set of dualities. So let's now start by going into the first part and look at this theory as a theory of Dilaudan gravity. So the action is an action on a two-dimensional Euclidean surface sigma, and we'll have the usual phi r term, so phi is a scalar field, the dilaton, and we'll add a potential w of phi to it. And the action has to be also completed with a boundary term, and we can also add an Euler term that just weighs surfaces of different genus by basically the string coupling or S-naught in the language of JT gravity. But the important thing is that the dilaton potential takes this form, so it is just a singe of phi essentially, but this constant b squared here you can't get rid of by doing field redefinition. So it's a parameter of the theory. And you can again see that taking b to zero makes the singe linearize and you just get 2 phi, which is the dilaton potential of JT gravity. And also just like JT gravity, you can consider this theory on any type of surface, so it can have any number of genera, and it can have any number of sort of geodesic boundaries, or it can have any number of asymptotic boundaries, which are nearly ADS2 boundaries. All right, so that's already it, and let's move on to the worksheet description. So what was already observed in the literature, and there's a paper, unpublished paper by Seibig and Stanford, and you can read about it in this paper by Mertens and Turacci, so that you can take the Weyl factor of the metric, and you can take the dilaton. These are two scalar fields, and you can take a linear combination of those, and that reduces the action to the action of space-like Liouville theory plus time-like Liouville theory. So they have, in principle, the same actions, but in time-like Liouville theory, the kinetic term has a wrong sign. So it's not completely clear how you would define it from a path integral point of view. And it is space-like Liouville theory with a central charge C, and C is related to B in the usual way that we have in Liouville theory. It's just a convenient way to parameterize central charge. So you can also think of the model as just the free parameter in the model as being the central charge. And the central charge C hat of time-like Liouville theory turns out to be 26 minus C. And this is precisely appropriate to promote this theory to a bosonic string theory. And you can then take this to be a more well-defined definition of the theory, since there is a rigorous bootstrap definition of what time-like and also space-like Liouville theory actually is. And I really want to emphasize that we are not taking the second factor, the matter factor, to be a minimal model, which is what is usually done in the literature, but we're really taking it seriously and take time-like Liouville theory. All right, so what is time-like Liouville theory? The only thing essentially that you have to know is that it's a well-defined theory. You can define it from a bootstrap point of view. It is non-unitary since its central charge is less than one. It is modular invariant. It can produce crossing symmetric correlation functions. And it has a spectrum that is bounded from below, which is maybe confusing given the name of the theory. But the spectrum is bounded from below, and the spectrum is essentially the same as for space-like Liouville theory. So the conformal weight is bounded from below by the C hat minus 1 over 24. I'll denote all quantities of time-like theory by hats and space-like theory without hats. All right, and there's by now a series of papers that make this pretty rigorous and is pretty well established. In particular, you can define correlation functions via some conformal block expansion. There is some analog of the DOZZ formula, and they define analytic functions in these Liouville momentum p-hats. And in particular, these functions are analytic in p-hats, and one thing that will be important in a slide or two is that you can analytically continue these correlation functions to any complex values of p-hat. And this is much simpler than in space-like Liouville theory. For the experts in space-like Liouville theory, when we do such a deformation, typically we have to deform the OPE contour. We don't have to do that here. This analytic continuation is really sort of trivial. So now we can couple the two theories. We have space-like Liouville theory, where the central charge is parameterized in the usual way, plus our time-like Liouville theory. And they already satisfy that the central charges add up to 26. But we also want that the conformal weights add up to 1, since this is the mass shell condition in string theory. And that tells you that you should parameterize the conformal weights in space-like Liouville theory in the usual way. So there are C minus 1 over 24 plus some positive number, and which is the Liouville momentum squared. And in order for them to add up to 1, you need to put a minus pi squared here. And that's different from what I showed you in the previous slide. It means that this p hat needs to be I times p. And so you see that we have to analytically continue that to complex values. In any case, we can now define string theory correlators of this form. So they will be correlation function in space-like theory times this time-like global theory, where the p-hats have been set to I times p, times the ghosts that provide the integration measure in order to integrate over moduli space. We'll call these quantities the quantum volumes. And the reason for that is that taking b to 0 reduces the theory back to JT gravity. And in particular, these quantum volumes reduce to the Weyl-Peterson volumes of moduli space of Riemann surfaces. One thing that I really want to emphasize that is sort of cool about this theory is that the integral over moduli space here is absolutely convergent. Typically, in string theory, when we have any integral over moduli space, it does not converge, and we have to play some game of analytic continuation, regularization, or something like that in order to define what we actually mean by the amplitude. In this case, it is just fully analytic, it's convergent. So in particular, you can put it on a computer. So let's do that. We can put it on a computer for low genus and low n, because we're not infinitely powerful. Victor did this already in a previous paper in the special case where the central charge is 25. And in the general case, we find a result just from numerics that fits this very simple formula very well. So in the case of four punctured sphere, you get just a result that is a quadratic polynomial in the PIs, and there is a constant term that depends on the central charge. Similarly, for genus one and one puncture, you also get some very simple result. So that's very surprising, right? Because we started with some Liouville theory, which has some DOZZ formula in it, some conformal block expansion. Conformal blocks are really complicated. We put them together, we integrate over moduli space, and voila, we get this very simple result. So there must be some nice explanation, some magic going on. Why this is true? And again, the comment taking B to zero reduces these quantities to the Weyl-Peterson volumes of moduli space when you identify the Liouville momenta with the geodesic length of the boundaries of the surface. All right, so to understand that, let's move on to the 3D part of the talk. The key to understand this relation is to relate this worksheet theory to actually 3D theory of gravity. And this comes because in 3D theory of gravity, we'll actually take a chiral half only. So 3D gravity has both left movers and right movers. Let's just focus on the left movers. Then the Hilbert space of 3D gravity is spanned by the conformal blocks on the initial value surface, which is our Riemann surface. And there's an inner product on these conformal blocks, and it takes a sort of similar form as the integrals that we've encountered on the previous slides. Namely, if you're given two conformal blocks in sigma, you can take their inner product by taking one conformal block, complex conjugated, times the other one, times this, again, a time-like Liouville theory correlation function, times the ghosts, and you integrate over the moduli space of Riemann surfaces. Although this doesn't quite work, because here we have conformal blocks. So conformal blocks on their own are not crossing symmetric or moduli invariant. So we have to integrate over a bigger space, which is a universal covering space of the moduli space of Riemann surfaces. It's also known as Teich-Müller space. In any case, we have this sort of integral. And the slightly amazing fact is that we actually know what this integral is in closed form. So we worked that out in the context of 3D gravity in a very recent paper with Scott and Mengyang Zhang. And the result is very simple. On the right-hand side, you just get a bunch of delta functions that impose that these two conformal blocks are actually the same. So all the conformal blocks are orthogonal. And then there is some non-trivial density that appears here that needs the DOZZ three-point function as well as the two-point function of Liouville theory. But in essence, it's just the inverse of the OPE density that you would write down in space-like Liouville theory. So what appears is the inverse three-point function. So this looks very tantalizingly close to what we had on the previous slide. And in fact, we can use it to make a very simple relation. Namely, computing these quantum volumes in the 2D theory turns out to be just the same as computing partition function of only the chiral half of 3D gravity on this Riemann surface times S1. You can see this roughly from this formula without going through the details that you need to compute in 3D gravity, you need to compute a trace over the Hilbert space. So what you're going to do is you trace out. You can do that by putting this density on the other side. The trace corresponds to taking an integral over all the Liouville momenta, which reconstructs the space-like Liouville theory correlation function here on the left-hand side. Then, since you're talking about the theory of gravity, you should also divide out by the mapping class group, which in essence means that you're restricting this integral back to moduli space. So you were not supposed to understand all of this, but the takeaway message is that this 2D theory of gravity is just partition functions of a different 3D theory of gravity. So this is already very useful because it immediately allows us to compute various quantities in this 2D theory. For example, we can easily compute the disk partition function, which is just a partition function on the topology of a disk with one asymptotic boundary. So lifting up to 3D gravity, the disk becomes a solid torus. We add another circle. So if we compute now the 3D gravity partition function, what it will give is just the vacuum versus Zorro character in the boundary torus. And since it's only carrigravity, we'll only get, say, the left mover. And so the answer for the disk partition function is simply this infinite product, which you can recognize as the vacuum versus Zorro character. You have to be slightly careful that the beta that we want is not the beta that we would have from the 3D gravity point of view, that is the length of this thermocircle that we've added, but instead we want the length of the spatial circle, which has the beta, it will turn out to be the beta in the dual matrix model. But okay, so you take this 1 over beta, you know that this is some modular object, so you do the modular transformation, and you get some result. And we kind of want to say that the disk partition function is only the partition function counting primaries, since in the dual matrix model, it's a random matrix model, so we'll only describe the zero primaries at the end of the day, since the descendants are just completely fixed by symmetry. And so we don't want to include them in the matrix model. So we'll call the disk partition function only the partition function of primaries. We can do the same thing with the trumpet partition function, which is the partition function on disk with one geodesic boundary and one asymptotic boundary, or cylinder, I guess. And in this case, in the 3D theory, you get a non-trivial Virazoro character. You play the same game of doing modular transformation, and you read off what the trumpet partition function is. All right, so that's already useful, but the 3D description turns out to be much more powerful. In particular, you can use that the 3D theory is the Hilbert space of 3D gravity theory is obtained by quantizing its phase space. Its phase space is nothing else than the modular space of Riemann surfaces that, it, roughly speaking, describes the shape of the initial surface. And so you can compute partition functions on some sigma times S1 in a different way. Namely, you're just counting states that you're getting from quantizing some phase space, which is a modular space of Riemann surfaces. And you can do that using some mathematical theorems, because the Hilbert space will end up to be some sections of some line bundle, and you have to count this number of holomorphic sections. You can do that using the Hirzebruch-Riemann-Roch theorem. In any case, what that gives you is a different formula for these quantum volumes. The formula is, again, an integral over the modular space of Riemann surfaces, but now we put some abstract cohomology class here. It's some characteristic class. And here you have E to the Veit-Peterson form that might sound familiar to you from JT gravity, since if you wouldn't have this Todd class here in front, you would simply be computing the volume of the modular space of Riemann surfaces. But if you're counting these holomorphic sections, you also have to include a different characteristic class here in front. That's the Todd class of the tangent bundle. You don't have to know about everything here, but the important message here is that we can reduce now the problem of computing these quantum volumes that was very difficult in the 2D word sheet theory to a problem in intersection theory on the modular space of surfaces. This is a mathematically very well-developed subject, starting with the works of Mumford and then Witten, who did conjecture on a large class of these intersection numbers. All right, so in particular, we can now give a full solution because this intersection theory is really under very good control. And you can use some algebraic geometry as well as techniques from topological recursion to derive a recursion relation on these volumes. So let me explain you a little bit this recursion relation. It is a precise analog of Mirzakhani's recursion relation that appears in JT gravity and computes recursively the volumes of the modular space of Riemann surfaces. But in this case, there's a slight deformation because, we've deformed the theory. So if you want to compute a volume or this quantum volume at some genus G and N punctures, you need to single out one asymptotic one geodesic boundary. Let's say we take this P1, and we have to sum of all possible ways of embedding a three pair of pans into the surface. So there are topologically essentially three different ways of doing that. You can either embed the the pair of pans like this, so that the remaining surface is one genus lower, but it has one puncture more. So that's why VG minus 1 N plus 1 appears here. And we have to integrate over this P and P prime that will be the sort of length of the geodesics where we cut. So that this is this integral. And then there's some non-trivial kernel. The kernel is the only thing that depends on B. So you see B enters here in the kernel. And in particular, if you take this kernel and you send B to 0, again, it reduces to the recursion relation of Mirza-Khan. And similarly, there are other ways of embedding a pair of pans into the surface. For example, we can embed it like this, which cuts the surface into two pieces. And then we can sum over all the ways of distributing genus and punctures on the two sides. And we can also embed it in this way, where it shares one other geodesic boundary. And that gives the remaining surface then has genus G and N minus one punctures. All right, so this gives a very effective method now to compute all these volumes. And just to drive home how effective it is, all right, these are the three ways. Here is the genus 4 two-point function, this quantum volume. So if you have very good eyes, you can see that this is nothing else than a polynomial in P1 and P2 and a center charge. So it's very simple. And in particular, you can also see that if you would take, again, the genus 0, 4 punctured sphere, and so on, you, of course, reproduce what we had before from the numerics. All right, so I hope I convinced you that it's an effective algorithm. I could have gone further, but the slide is not big enough. But in particular, all these quantum volumes are polynomial in the central charge, and the Liouville momenta squared, and the degree is 3g minus 3 plus n. So that is very surprising from the worksheet point of view. It's not very surprising from this intersection point of view. One other cool property that they have is that they're invariant under switching the roles of space-like and time-like Liouville theory. What I mean by that is you can take this quantum volume, you can take the central charge to 26 minus the central charge, which flips the two theories, which means that B goes to IB, and you can send all the P's to IP, because this time-like Liouville momenta where I times the space-like ones. If you do that, then the volume doesn't change except by a sign. So they're essentially invariant. So there's no analog of that that I'm aware of in JT gravity. So that's some cool thing that you see. All right. Then we can also, of course, add asymptotic boundaries to the game. So now we know how to compute any partition function with geodesic boundaries. Just like in JT gravity, we can compute the partition function with asymptotic boundaries by gluing trumpets to it. So we take the trumpet partition function times the quantum volume, and we integrate over the internal P. So the last thing I need to explain now is the dual matrix integral. So this deformed Mirza-Khani recursion relation that I showed to you is actually equivalent to the loop equations of a doubly scaled matrix model. And the relevant matrix model can again be specified by its leading density of states, and the leading density of states is given by this product of the two cinches that I showed to you in the beginning. It's more convenient to phrase it in terms of this P variable, which is basically the Liouville momentum in the worksheet, and it's related to the energy in this way. This product of two cinches appears if you take the vacuum Virzoro character in a CFT and you do its modular transformation and express it in terms of other characters again. In particular, this is how you derive the Cardy growth of states in a CFT. So you can see the cinch for large energies just becomes an exponential, and this goes like e to the root c times p, and p is root e. So this is the growth of states that you have in a 2D CFT. It's a universal Cardy density. And hopefully, during this talk, you have seen many times now Virzoro symmetry appearing, and for this property, as well as the relation to 3D gravity, we are proposing to call this theory the Virzoro minimal string. And of course, again, the obligatory comment is that taking B to 0 reduces the density states of states back to JT gravity. So now we know the leading density of states, and this determines the perturbative part of the double scaled matrix integral completely. In particular, you can compute all these volumes that I showed to you. And I want to stress again that essentially we have derived every step in this correspondence. And also, it's much simpler than the 2, P minimal string, because in the 2, P minimal string, the integral over a moduli space of Riemann surfaces is not convergent, or not always. It is the result that you get is not analytic functions in all the parameters, whereas here it is just analytic functions in the central charge or in B and the Liouville momenta, and there are also no contact terms. So in some sense, it is a little bit of a cleaner correspondence. Finally, let me say some words about non-perturbative effects. The matrix integral also has non-perturbative effects in it, and they can be partially reproduced from sort of ZZ instanton corrections on the worksheet. And there's, on the non-perturbative level, there's a drastic difference between taking B equal to 1 and taking B not equal to 1. So it turns out for B equal to 1, the theory is non-perturbatively stable, and you can define it non-perturbatively as a matrix model. Whereas for B not equal to 1, there's a non-perturbative instability. And the same non-perturbative instability already appeared in JT gravity, which after all is a limit of this theory. And there are essentially two different ways how to get around this and define the theory non-perturbatively. Either you can change the integration contour in the definition of the matrix integral, you're integrating over the eigenvalues, and you can change that you're not integrating over them from minus infinity to infinity, but you're integrating over them on a different contour. Or, as was proposed by Clifford Johnson, you can deform the model at low energies such that perturbatively it's still the same, but it gives a different non-perturbative completion. But in any case, knowing about this, the existence of non-perturbative effects also again makes you predictions about the perturbative features of the model. So in particular, you can, from some resurgence analysis, you can predict the large G asymptotics of these quantum volumes. And the formula is kind of cute. I've written it here. In particular, there's a gamma of 2G here. So the volumes, they diverge very fast. They grow very fast as 2G factorial. And that's already signals that there is a need for a non-perturbative completion of the model. So let me conclude by reminding you about these different access points to the theory. We've seen that we can sort of define it by taking Singe dilaton gravity, which we then made precise by going on the world sheet in terms of a space-like global theory and a time-like global theory. We then related it to a chiral half of 3D gravity, which in turn made a link with intersection theory on moduli space of Riemann surfaces. And finally, using topological recursion, we can go up here to the matrix integral. And yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lorenz. Questions? Juan?
Is your theory has two scalar fields, right? Is it also related to the C equal to 1 matrix model?
Yeah. It's a very good question that we are trying to answer. We don't have an answer currently, but there seem to be many features that are in parallel. So in particular, it's, so there's for B equal to 1, so central charge being 25 and 1, it seems very much that it's maybe some kind of deformation of the C equal to 1 string. But the C equal to 1 string we are describing usually in terms of matrix quantum mechanics. So on the dual side, it's not particularly clear otherwise. But yeah, it's something we're thinking about, but there's no answer yet.
I'm going to take prerogative and ask a question. For chiral gravity in 3D, the central charge is quantized to be a multiple of 24. How does that show up in the 2D?
All right. So it's an issue that I was trying to evade a little bit. But I only wrote correct things. So let me show you. So there is a bar missing on the Todd class for the experts. So we're not quantizing the compactification of moduli space. If you quantize a compact phase space, then this quantization will show up. And similarly, also the conformal weights will be quantized. What we're doing is we are starting with Teich-Muller space, which doesn't have any quantization like that because it's a non-compact space. And later on, we are just restricting this integral down to the moduli space of Riemann surfaces. So this is not quite the same as what some people might call chiral gravity because of a different treatment of the boundary divisors.
But you get something finite still?
You get something finite, but in particular, this is not these volumes, they're not integers. So from a gravity point of view in 3D, you might have thought you should get an integer because you're just counting states on sigma times S1. That's not, so if you want, this is not chiral, we can discuss what we mean by chiral gravity. That's one way to define it, but its partition functions are not integer in particular.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe while we're on these slides, the topological intersection theory data that goes into the quantum volumes, is that the same topological data that goes into the classical volumes? And you're just changing the coefficient of the kappa class?
In some sense, knowing all the intersection numbers of psi classes is enough, plus algebraic geometry. So what you need to do is you take this Todd class. You can express it in terms of kappa classes and psi classes using some index theorems, and then this reduces it down to some kind of ordinary intersection numbers, but you need the higher kappa classes as well, not just kappa one. Okay. Yeah.
I have a question about the relation of this work with old work of Giventhal. Do you know this?
Sorry?
Do you know this old, these papers of Sasha Giventhal from about 2003? He also studies these integrals with the Todd class.
Yeah.
And he shows how they are related to the integrals without the Todd class by a certain canonical transformation. It's really neat. So that suggests that maybe your partition function is related to the old one by the same canonical transformation.
Maybe.
I'll
look into it. I don't know. Thanks.
Any online questions?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so here it doesn't matter, or in particular in the beginning. So here it doesn't really matter whether I write M or M bar, because it really decays in the boundary.
Yeah. And a question of my own. Have you thought of inserting Verlinde lines in the partition
function? Within the what?
Verlinde lines.
Verlinde lines. Right. I think, so we haven't thought about them. We could add them. From the 3D point of view, it's pretty trivial to add them, because they're just other Wolfson lines. Interesting question. I don't know the answer, but I'm sure we could incorporate them somehow.
And then there is a raised hand from the. I don't have the power.
So, Mdada, you can unmute yourself.
I didn't hear a question. Yeah, I can hear you. I didn't hear a question yet.
Could you repeat the question?
Is there a matrix model? Yeah, it's the one that I showed. So it's the one. The matrix model dual is the one that's specified by this leading density of states. Maybe I misunderstood the question, though. You can do that. So you can relate this density of states to a potential, and it's a doubly scaled matrix model. So you need to start with some finite dimensional matrices. You scale them to infinity. You have some potential in the matrix integral, and you can put it on a computer if you want. But on kind of the abstract already scaled level, you just specify it by specifying the density of states.
Daniel.
Yeah, hi, so thanks. So that was a beautiful talk. One thing which was interesting for me was this appearance of 3D gravity as an intermediate step.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of didn't really happen in the JT story. I mean, do you have some sense of why that happened, or is there some more general lesson there that if I want to study gravity in D dimensions, I should think about gravity in D plus one dimensions?
So let me say that also in some sense appears in JT gravity, because we know that if we take a 2D CFT and we take a particular light cone limit, which essentially means that for, say, the right Moores, we go to very low energies. For the left Moores, we go to very high energies. Then the Schwarzian appears. And in particular, JT gravity appears. It's a near horizon limit of extreme black holes. And here, we're doing less of that limit. We're only going to very low energies for the right Moores, but we are keeping all the energies for the left Moores in some sense. Mm-hmm. So it's a less extreme version of this light cone limit. But also, 3D gravity also already appears for JT gravity, I would say.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Lunch, all right. So maybe in the interest of lunch, we can thank the speaker again for a wonderful talk.